The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, here we are then. We're back for the Wednesday Lunchtime Social debate. There's lots to debate. And the one thing I really want to talk about is, I'm trying to find it on his Facebook page, was Ian Ward over the weekend. I don't know whether he's deleted me as a friend or not. I don't think so. I don't think we've fallen out. But anyway, Ian Ward is local councillor.
Yeah.
Conservative councillor.
Yeah.
He's actually gone
Sandown town councillor.
Gone to Manchester for the Conservative conference. And here we go. Is that him there? Always busy, Ian Ward. Here we go. Oh, he hasn't deleted me. Oh, that's all right then. I'm at a. This is what he said on Sunday, because he's gone to the conference in Manchester. I'm at the Conservative Party conference in Manchester, and was accosted by, or accosted outside by, outside the hall by a scruffy demonstrator who called me Tory scum, and I was only fit for fiddling with little boys. I asked him why he had to be so nasty, at which point he punched me and ran away, being chased by a policeman. I just cannot understand why the left wing are so vicious. So I can understand that he's obviously really, really upset, and I would imagine shaken up by this. Let's be honest, first and foremost, that's not a nice thing to have happen to you.
Not at all, no.
And I can imagine that, you know, he's angry, he's frustrated. I'm not going to make excuses for him, but maybe he could have used his words a little bit carefully, more carefully, you know, because basically someone's cracked him one. That's wrong. Totally, totally wrong. In no world is that in no world is that correct, or that should happen. Okay, so I think that, you know, let's take that into consideration first of all. But then when he uses the term scruffy demonstrator, and, you know, the fact that he's, is it right wing, left wing, why do they have to be so vicious? Why are the left wing so vicious? I think, okay, if he hadn't have said that, people wouldn't have picked him up on it. But they have. The unfortunate thing is, I know the union guys are having a field day with this. But lots of people have actually commented on this. I mean, first and foremost, you know, shocking is not the term. I mean, you know, it's far beyond shocking. Shocked, cross, and sorry to hear this, says Susie Sumter. I hope the policeman caught him, no matter, no call whatsoever for this type of behaviour. Are you okay? That's awful. Christine Cox, welcome to the North. You got away with it lightly. It might have been worse if you'd gone to Yorkshire. I hope you're okay. Ex-army should be able to handle it. David Ward says, hope you're okay, Dad. Must be really dreadful. Aww. To see your dad.
Yeah.
You know, that's not nice at all. Olivia say they'll bash them. So it doesn't help. Sarah Jane Bray says, I can't believe this has happened. It makes me ashamed of some of the minor, which some of the minor, which totally spoil this country. I hope that you're okay. Paul says, I wish I could have been there, Ian. I would have battered him. Yeah, that's not the answer, is it? I'm sorry for what happened. My parents are at the demo and would never behave like that in a million years. You are rightly angry and upset. It's disappeared off the screen now. That's good. Opie at the other end actually deleting me from his Facebook page, because I actually like Ian Ward. I think he's a really nice guy. He's a councillor that, yeah, okay, he's a Conservative. I never vote Conservative in my lifetime. And the chances are that I never will, okay? But that doesn't mean to say that you can't recognise the hard work that he puts in. I know he drives a bus, doesn't he, for the people of Sandown?
He does,
I know
community bus, yeah.
Anything else that he does as well?
He's something to do with the Royal British Legion, I do believe. Like you say, he's ex-army. Because someone belongs to a political party, doesn't take the identity of that person away, does it, as a person? You know, so
I think it's really, really sad that it's come to this. You know, I really do. There's no excuse whatsoever for what that gentleman did. I use the term loosely to Ian Ward. But in this day and age, there's, you know, the terminology that he's used and put it on his Facebook page is going to incite an argument, and it's coming his way. Unfortunately, there are numerous people that have, you know, picked up on this. You know, let's just read out some more messages that are, you know, for Ian. I completely agree, terrible the way that others have been treated, but you have to think, why do they do it? It must show the Conservative Party that people are generally upset with the way that, you know, the way they do things. Jenny Simon says, hope you're okay, Ian. What is wrong with people? Hope they charge him. You know, but there isn't a hint of people there saying, you know, yes, it's disgusting, but it's people's frustrations that are boiling over because they got voted in. They're doing all these austerity measures. They're putting these cutbacks in place, and it's not good. People are getting more and more upset.
It isn't good
but
at all.
That's not the way to go forward.
No.
It really isn't. But, as I say, he's actually inflamed the situation quite considerably by the words that he's actually used. Leading trade union members on the Isle of Wight have hit back at a claim from a Tory councillor that the left wing is vicious. But Councillor Ian Ward, who made the claim on his Facebook page, I actually read it on Sunday when it popped up, and said he had been punched by a scruffy demonstrator. There's nothing wrong with the terminology so far, a scruffy demonstrator outside the Conservative conference in Manchester. He defended his choice of words. In his post, Councillor Ward said he could not understand why the left wing was so vicious. Now, you know, that's pointing the finger at the left wing. Well, I mean, what exactly is the left wing?
See, I think it's wrong that it says a scruffy demonstrator, because does that imply that all the people demonstrating were scruffy?
Well,
it does, doesn't it?
See, I think you've got to deal in fact. If he thinks it's scruffy in his opinion, he may think I'm scruffy. But obviously, has that offended you that they've used the term scruffy?
Scruffy demonstrator, yes, because it sounds as though all the demonstrators were scruffy. It's no different to what you've just said. You know, we've just said that because he's a Conservative, he's still a person in his own right.
Mm, sure. Mark Shiverton, the Isle of Wight Unison branch secretary, was at the demonstration and said, everybody I saw was good-natured and were focused on the issues such as spending cuts and the trade union bill, which will severely affect the way we operate. He criticised the small minority who had caused trouble, and said that they had affected attention from away from the majority's peaceful message. Speaking to the county press today, however, Councillor Ward stood by his remarks. Let's be honest, it's a perfect opportunity to say, I was angry.
I was really cross, and that's why I
said that. I was frustrated. I was, you know, he's probably shook through his boots as well that he's been assaulted.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
I was in the army and served in Northern Ireland, so it didn't bother me. But for those who are older or of a nervous disposition, the atmosphere was intimidating. It is sad that people have to go to such extremes for their political motives. Asked if he regretted using the collective term left wing, he said, how else could I describe them? But I did not think they represented the normal Labour supporter. This is pretty obvious. OK, well, you didn't say that when you posted your message on Facebook. Councillor Ward said nobody had protested outside the Labour or Liberal Democrat conferences. Okay, now again, it's kind of casting aspersions, but I think let's deal with the fact here. He was assaulted, okay,
which is wrong.
Absolutely, on every single level, that is wrong. But then his choice of words was also wrong. But he was given a chance to clarify them, and he's had three days to think about it, and he's still using the same terminology, and that's kind of sad because he would have gotten away with it if he had said, "I was upset. I was angry and I was upset." Let's be honest, we've all said things in anger.
In the haste, yeah.
In anger and frustration, we've all said things. Now, I put something on Facebook this morning. It'd be interesting to see what messages we kind of get. Because obviously I put it on before this story actually, before the other side got involved, if you like. I don't like all that right-wing, left-wing malarkey, do you? I find it so, how can I put it? I find it really offensive that people can't get on with people that have been elected to do a job. Why do they have to keep bitching and sniping at each other?
But they do, don't they?
The unfortunate thing is, yes, you're absolutely right, they do. Now, this is what I put this morning. Now, as you may have gathered, I'm not a Conservative, never have been, or likely to be. I don't like the cuts that have led to austerity, but I am disgusted that Ireland Councillor Ian Ward was physically abused, physically assaulted just for attending a Tory conference. Ian is a decent bloke and a gentleman and does a fantastic amount in the community. Surely there are better ways of getting a point across rather than using physical violence and abuse. Any moral high ground is lost. Jonathan Skeet says, as a general rule, if you use personal abuse or violence, you've lost the argument. Maggie says it shows a level of ignorance and a lack of intelligence that someone feels punching someone gets their point across. I believe it makes their point, whatever it was, to be invalid. Zoe Thompson says, unfortunately, the very few who resort to aggression help to reinforce the Tory view, as expressed by the councillor, and those against the Conservative policies are simply the loony left. It was a shame that he felt the need to use the unfortunate incident to discredit the views of an entire group of people, rather than see it as an individual being in the wrong. Given the strength of the feeling and the huge numbers protesting, despite the fact that this has been made very difficult with centres being shut to the public, etc., to try and limit numbers of protesters, the majority have been very peaceful. James Vox says, quite right, Ian. But if ever there was a chance to pelt Charlotte Church in the stocks with eggs and tomatoes, I would feel very tempted. I don't know whether that's tongue-in-cheek or he's having the... You know, he's having a dig. Kieran says, I'm not a fan of the Conservatives, nor in experiencing the work of Ian for the island, nor in a personal realm. Nobody should be attacked for attending anything if the story is true. It's awful. OK, don't question the story, because it did actually happen. You know, is there anything you want to add?
No, I just think, you know, it's not right for anybody to be either physically attacked, verbally abused, while carrying out their role, albeit a job as a counsellor, whatever, you know. And I've worked at A&E, I know what it's like to be in that situation, and it really is a dreadful experience. But like you say, I think some of his comments have actually, it's just inflamed it, hasn't it?
Don't let me put, I mean, I've already said it, but don't let me put words in your head or tell you how you should think. If he'd have come back today and said, look, I was angry, those words were when I, you know, out of the moment, an emotional moment maybe, you know, I retract some of the words, would you then say, well, that's okay? Or do you think he should know better?
That comment sounds like it was his initial reaction, which is fine.
Mm.
Because, you know, he would have had the media on to him, oh, how do you feel, what happened, you know, all at the same time. And like you say, two, three days down the line, he's had time to think about it, and he's still standing by what he said. And I've taken offence that it was a scruffy protester or
okay.
demonstrator, you know?
No,
because
I take your point.
That insinuates that. And, you know, Mark Chiverton sort of said there were hundreds and hundreds of people there peacefully demonstrating. Mm. And it's the same old, whether you're at school, whether you're in work, if people abuse... And people do things that they shouldn't do. They spoil it for the majority, don't they?
The sad thing is I can see why they're protesting. I'm not surprised that they're protesting. There are an awful lot of cutbacks being made just about everywhere, and it is affecting people. That's easy for everybody to see.
And that was the perfect opportunity for the people that are suffering, that want their voice heard, to be at that Conservative Party conference, to show up like they did in their hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, to show the Conservatives exactly what the feelings are without resorting to violence.
Do you know what? I've got to be honest. You know, I'm not one for protests and things. You know, I think in this day and age, they're mostly ignored by people. They are mostly ignored by the powers that be. We mentioned yesterday about Unite the White, and 70 people turned up, and they would have laughed at that because they would have thought, is that it? Is that all you got? You have to find a way, and this is what we should talk about. You have to find a way of finding something to appeal to their better nature. You do, and I know that sounds a bit soft, maybe, but you're not going to win by arguing. You have to find... I don't know what the way is, don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying that protesting outside is not the right way. What's definitely not the right way is any kind of friction like that, because as soon as you've done that, you've lost the argument. But I feel for those people that are there because, you know, quite
for
rightly...
For genuine reasons, they want to show their disapproval at what's going on, but that's kind of... tarnish the whole thing, isn't it?
Well, has it, and was that the plan to do so?
I don't know. Who knows how anybody reacts in the heat of the moment?
It's just a shame that at the moment you have, and we've seen this kind of locally happen a few times in the past, where you've got, you know, a regime and you've got another group of people that want to be part of the council and so on and so forth on a, you know, on a smaller level. This is on a much bigger level. You've got all David Cameron will do is run down what the concern. He had a speech the other day, and he couldn't wait to get a dig in about the Labour Party didn't do this and the Labour Party didn't do that, and then you get the Labour Party come on and they're attacking them, and that's all you hear is so they're not setting the best example, are they?
No.
When you hear them in the House and they're treating each other like children, and they really are. That's
comical sometimes to watch, isn't it?
Well, see, I don't think it's comical. I think it's painful, and I think you people ought to be setting a much better example. And maybe if you were to get your together and do things in a proper, conduct yourself in a proper way, then us people would probably have a little bit more respect for you, and we wouldn't have to protest outside your conference. You know, if you would have put your mind to it and do things properly and fairly, so that people got a good deal, people weren't living in austerity, you know, it's enforced on them, they wouldn't have to camp outside, would they?
But even on a local level, Ian, over at County Hall with the council meetings, it's still like that. You know, rather than just getting on with the business of running the Isle of Wight and doing the best for the Isle of Wight, there's bickering and bitching and comments and personal comments and insults, and you just think, how much time is being wasted?
David Blackford said, here's a good point. Yeah, how much time is Wight being wasted? In all areas of society, there are ruffians unable to articulate their argument. They resort to fisticuffs. There has also been and always will be. John Heelan says, any past members of the cabal at the Tory conference, past history suggests that they could be bit vicious, although generally not physically, and might be still feeling a bit hurt that they could not depose AT, meaning Andrew Turner, I'm sure, or it might have been a pensioner disgruntled at the Tax Alliance rally recommending that they should hit with cuts now, as they won't remember or could be dead by the 2020 election. What next will the Tax Alliance recommend? Euthanasia of all those over 70 to save expenditure on pensions, benefits, NHS, and so on. And Jeff Lumley has said, well said, Mark. Comments I have seen from the left on their blogs, Facebook pages, etc., about this have been nothing but polite. So there is the polite side, there is the right side, but I just feel that is just going to fall on deaf ears. It's just going to fall on deaf ears. It's not going to do anything. They are not going to look at those crowd of people and think, well, we better not make the cuts.
No, of course they're not.
That's the thing. There must be a better way. I've got to point out something. I said to you off air about an hour ago that there was... I watched a bit, and I don't like them. I don't like these Daily Mirror Awards, and because I think half the time there's showbiz people turning up for a picture, and they've got the latest album out, and they've got their breasts hanging out in a photo shoot. So I really detest that. But there was something on the Daily Mirror Britain Awards last week, where this young couple had lost their child, and I think it was a baby. It was only 9 months old, and they took her to the... they both started back to work. They took the baby to the creche, and the creche was... I think it was... they were either understaffed, or they didn't have enough people that knew what to do whenever there was a health issue. And I think this baby developed something that they couldn't stop, or they didn't have enough people to work on this, to get some lump out of its throat and so on. Anyway, the sad thing is this baby died. But the parents did this the most amazing thing. They didn't, go around blaming everybody and having a go at everybody. They campaigned. And they campaigned and they got money and they got finances, and they're now going to around to these places and putting machinery and people in place that have been trained so this doesn't happen again. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think when I say that there's another way, I'm not saying we should all love each other and hug a tree. What I am saying is that there is another way of doing things, and that's the way that we should be looking at
a different way of thinking.
Rather than the aggressive tactics and everybody turn up and, you know, let's be honest, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'll show you something in your mind. Just watch a football match in your mind with me. The referee's given a decision. He's sent somebody off. Does the referee ever change his mind, even when he knows he's wrong?
No.
He's never going to change his mind. And even as a child, when you watch kids play football, the referee's made his decision. Okay, and the child will run after the ref, or he'll put his arms out and say, "Whoa, what did I do? What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong." It makes no difference. The protests, they've got to find another way. Really have got to find another way of doing it. And I think once you do, you shame those people into making those correct decisions. And maybe when they are, you know, having Prime Minister's question times, they are a little bit more grown up and they are have a little bit more feeling about the people that they're actually making decisions upon, rather than treating each other like idiots and having a bit of a laugh and a giggle at other people's expense while Rome burns. You know, austerity is not nice, and let's be honest, most Conservatives it hasn't touched, so they are unaware. You have to make them aware, but you don't do it with aggression. It's as simple as that. Shall we take a break and we come back in a few seconds' time? It's 12:26. You're with Vectis Radio, and God bless you for it.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. www.vectisradio.com.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
Hello there, I'm Andy from Hamilton's Fine Foods, and I'd like to introduce you to some of the new things that are happening in Hamilton's. Our newest venture is our new shop in Dodner Industrial Estate, where we have available hot sausage rolls, hot coffee, hot pies, and all sorts of other things for your lunch. We're open from 10 till 4 daily. If you're working in and around Dodner Industrial Estate, please call in.
Hamilton's Fine Foods. You'll find them on Daish Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
The 4Ps project is for 11 to 19 year olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
Hi, I'm Maggie Curry, established freelance coach. My work impacts lives and is a catalyst for life-changing experiences. I work with clients to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone, rediscover passions and be themselves. Calm and in control of my own life, I have more than a decade's experience in coaching and will help you build the foundations for your future. Get in touch today to find out how my inspirational coaching can transform first you and then your life. Contact me via my website, www.maggiecurry.co.uk, or through the Vectis Radio website.
Hello, Brandon Langdon here, and you may be wondering what's Brandon up to these days. Well, I'm on the evening event, 5 to 7pm, weekdays, bar Friday, because I'll be sleeping in that day, or enjoying the weather, like you should be.
Stay social and get in touch.
It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Okay, we're back for part two. We're talking austerity. We've got Prickles in. Everyone gets a nickname. We've got Steve Stubbins in. What, have you got a nickname?
Stubby? Yeah, I live with that for most of my youth. I'm sure there's the members of the public can think of a much more appropriate nickname for me.
Now, we're talking austerity, and the reason why... Let me just read you what I put on Facebook yesterday. There's lots of people struggling on the Isle of Wight because of low wages and higher level of unemployment. But it amazes me that only 80 people attended a Unite the Wight rally in Newport recently. One of them was my friend Ali Hayden. It begs the question, either there aren't that many that are struggling. I believe, personally, that there are many to be struggling below the breadline on the island, too many. These rallies are old hat, and we need to think of something else to get the masses involved.
The trouble is, of course, rallies have through history proved to be the most effective way of showing a level of representation on the part of the public. But I think what we're living in at the moment, Ian, is an era of apathy and or hopelessness. People, I think, generally speaking, feel that whatever they do is not going to make a difference, and that is an utter tragedy.
It is, but then would it be just a simple fact that, you know, it was only 2 months ago that 28,000 people voted for cuts, and deep cuts at that? So, you know, it begs the question, do we have, are we split on the island? 28,000 people don't believe we live in an austerity, really.
We're very badly split on the island, I think it's fair to say. I was alarmed by the results of the general election. I thought there was a potential for Andrew Turner getting back in. I never thought that it would be with the kind of numbers that he did. I think part of that vote, frankly, was a tactical vote to keep UKIP out. I think there was a bit of that. I think that independent or anybody not conservative would have done much better if we'd put forward one candidate that could have perhaps united that anti-conservative thing. But however you look at it, it was hugely disappointing, you know, for the Isle of Wight. I mean, we are actually one of the areas of the country that is worst affected by the government austerity measures. Yeah. We are absolutely struggling like mad here. We're suffering very, very badly. And people just seem to be sleepwalking into disaster. And I agree with you about the 80-odd that turned up for the thing. I was there, Ali will tell you that. I'm going to become increasingly outspoken against this government. I think they are terrible for this country. I think they're going to absolutely kill us.
So how do we unite then? Because as I say, we didn't unite over the general election. We didn't unite the other week. But then you think to yourself, well, okay, it was a warm day. And, you know, I'm not making excuses, but I mean, it was a warm day. And what are we actually going to get from this one meeting? What are we going to get? Okay, we're all going to get together. We're all going to slap each other on the back and we're going to say, yeah, no, the times are really, really tough, which we know about. But what's the outcome to that rally? Uniting the Wight, I said to Ali, because I've got the ump, I'm a bit prickly at times, and I've got the ump about it. And I'm thinking, these things to me, they seem to be old hat. And we've got to find a different way because it didn't work. And I think, we agree that there's a lot of people out there that are struggling. But it's a case of these things. Okay, you're going to go and you want me to come into Newport? That's going to cost me money. You want me to, you know, give up a couple of hours work that I've got and come in? So we've got to find another way that incorporates, you know, the people that you want to incorporate and highlight the issue. And that maybe is yeah, okay, that is old hat, petitions, online petitions, properly done. So you've got, over a period of time, you've got X amount of signatures, so then you can go to someone and say, hey, look, now you've got to take notice. Because let's be honest, those people that are watching, you know, watching the other week, 80 people turned up. I mean, those people that are, you know, inflicting the austerity onto us must be thinking, 80 people turned up. 28,000 people voted. Yeah. Where's your evidence?
I would say, Ian, we had an opportunity back there in, you know, when the election took place. We had an opportunity to speak really, really loudly about how we feel about the way that, that this island and this country has been treated by, okay, it was a coalition government, but effectively led by conservative policies and principles. And we did not use that opportunity. And what we actually did was to re-elect a member here on the island who is part of that government, who, in my own opinion, I don't want to speak to anti-Andrew, has been completely ineffective in representing the views of one of the areas of the country that has been worst hit by government austerity. And I think we've given them a mandate for the next 5 years to do whatever they want to. That frightens me quite a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Absolutely, 100%. Just to sort of sit on the fence a little bit and come at it from a different angle, though, you know, because I'm looking at it, OK, put your journalist head on here and you know, and say, well, hang on, 80 people turned up to that, 28,000 people turned up to that. How do we know that things are as bad as we, you know, the people are saying? I mean, it's a case of those people that you need to convince, we have to say, there's the evidence. These people think that you're wrong. These people actually are now getting together and they're showing you that this is that these are the real facts, not 80 people. That doesn't speak anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we convince?
I think unfortunately it's a slow process, because what's going to happen is I think the worst of the austerity measures, the impact of the austerity measures, hasn't even really hit yet. I think there's once we get universal credit in, I think there's going to be a real problem that people are going to have in terms of managing their finances. I think this government, and particularly Ian Duncan Smith's stuff that he seems so delighted with, are going to have a significant impact on people who receive benefits of one kind or another. I think we're going to see an increase in child poverty on the Isle of Wight. I think we're going to see an increase in a general sort of sense of the working poor. Because our big problem here, Ian, is not actually unemployment. It is that most of the people who are in employment, or a significant number of the people who are in employment, are earning so little that they are actually incapable of sustaining their lifestyle in an appropriate manner, which obviously involves then feeding their kids, getting them, you know, their school uniforms, those things that we used to consider to be just a right almost in a civilised society. We're going backwards here.
So how do we engage with them? Because, you know, I'm going to be honest. You might not like what I'm about to say. You might think on the surface it's a very shallow thing to say, but underneath it all, there's a reason for doing it. There's a reason for saying it, because I think we need to be honest. We need to be true, and we need to engage those people that are struggling. We need the people that will look upon this and say, right, they have got problems, we need to do something about it. So you're trying to convince those. But the 80 people that turned up the other day, I look at you, you were there and you were supporting it. And I know that you're supporting it. But from the other side, it just looks like, well, hang on a minute, you've got 80 people there. And of the 80 people there, how many are actually struggling with austerity? Okay, you've taken the time out to be there and show support for these people, which I think is admirable. But you then see things like, and we said this on air, and I'm not having a go at the lady, but it's a fact. Hey, hang on a minute, you saw Vix Lowthy in there. Well, she's not struggling with austerity. We've just seen loads of pictures on her going to a festival and having a lovely time. She's allowed to do that. That's not a problem. I'm not having a dig. But those people that you need to convince will probably be looking at that with their grey matter and looking at the grey areas there and thinking, hang on a minute, you're not poor. We want to show me some poor people.
I think, though, Ian, you've got to be careful, because you don't have to actually be poor to understand the plight of the poor.
No, absolutely.
I believe you, I'm not struggling with austerity, OK?
There's
I'm
a fine
one
line.
Of the very fortunate people that is in a position to you know, however kind of hits get made my way, I'm likely to be able to survive reasonably comfortably. So I'm not one of these, but I am an elected member who is in a role where I'm supposed to be representing some of those people. And one of my residents, interestingly, has subsequent to those two meetings that we've had so far, has been engaging with me by email very constructively, and she spoke at both of the rallies.
She did, yeah.
Really, really eloquently about what the situation looks like from her viewpoint, food banks and everything.
Sure.
And I'm now involved in a very interesting exchange where she's getting an opportunity to come forward directly with ideas about how we might look to address some of these problems. If I could see another 100 or 200 people like her that would be prepared to engage at that level. But I think, you know what happens? It's that old thing about bread and circuses, isn't it? Because all the government needs to do is to make sure that these people are either too occupied with their problems to actually engage in any kind of level that represents a challenge, or to make sure that they can still watch whatever, you know, the kind of tripe that they put out on daytime television. It's that old thing that you kind of make it so that people just don't have a will to do anything about it. There's the real danger for me. I think that's the apathy thing.
Sure.
You look how many people come along and vote, even in local elections. The figures are appalling. And yet, actually, everything we do affects people. Every decision I make as Deputy Leader of the Isle of Wight Council on a daily basis will either affect whether somebody in a rural area has a bus to travel into Newport, or somebody working in an old people's home is earning enough money to feed their family. You know, those are the kind of choices.
Absolutely.
And that's desperate.
And I totally agree. And I know there's desperate people out there. And what I just want to make absolutely clear, I'm not having a go at these people.
No.
Yourself. I think it's admirable that you're going and giving up your time, because you don't have to, you're doing all right. But the point is, it's the message that we're sending those people that we need to convince.
Yeah.
Hey, hang on a minute, they'll be looking at you and thinking, well, you don't suffer with it, well, so why are you there?
Yeah.
Well, you're there because your heart tells you you've got to be there. And it's the same with Vix, it's the same with Ali as well. I'm not having a go, it's just how it looks. But how do we engage those people if the look is kind of distorted, if you like?
Mm.
You know, I want people to come out and support. I want people to make it known that, you know, we're struggling. We shouldn't have to have, you know, food banks. We shouldn't have to have that system in place. But we do, and we've got to make the best of it. So maybe it's a case of we need to vote with our feet. But getting people to unite in a park on a sunny afternoon, you're not going to do it. So there's got to be another way of doing it.
We're a notoriously placid nation, Ian. I think history tells us that. I mean, I don't think you'd get away with what's happening here in France, for example.
No, absolutely.
I think there would have been explosions in places, literally probably, but more, you know, in terms of a metaphorical sense. I think people would have been out on the streets about some of the stuff that's happening. I think we've been lulled into a kind of a sense where people feel like they can't do anything about it. That's a very dangerous place to be. But I think if there's any hope in this, it's that actually you can only push people so far. There's a point at which I think people say, actually, I've got nothing to lose anymore, so now is the time for me to step up and be counted. And maybe we might be approaching that place at some point in the not too distant future. I think another 5 years of this government, and boy, we are really gonna be feeling the pinch.
I think by the end of this year, we'll be feeling a hell of a lot tighter pinch.
Yeah.
And people will maybe even regretting, you know, what they voted for, because perhaps they weren't sure. We don't know, but you were going to say something earlier.
I think another thing people don't actually realise is Unite the White is all part of a national thing.
Mm.
The two rallies that have been held have also been held in conjunction with hundreds of rallies up and down the country.
Okay.
For like-minded people in their areas.
Still only 80 people went.
Yeah.
Let me just take it back a few years. If you go back a few years, probably about four or five, there was Andrew Turner was after signatures to keep the Isle of Wight just one.
Yep.
Was it one? And he got something like 5,000 signatures in a long period of time. And I scoffed at that because I thought 5,000 signatures? That's ridiculous. That's what? How much of a percentage is the people that are going to vote? That's not very high at all. I'll take you back 15 years when we wanted to go to London with signatures because we wanted independence for the Isle of Wight. Statistically, we got 21,000 signatures in a space of about 3 weeks. Now, that's high.
Mm.
That was good. People spoke and then they went on three buses into London.
Yeah.
And we handed over these signatures, but 5,000, you know, I look at that. Yes, is it complacency? Is it people can't be bothered to do things? I think in the next little while, we've really got to find something that engages people so that you can actually put this out there. Because Unite the White, okay, 80 people, it ain't enough. And if you're one of those people that you're trying to convince, you know, whether you're the bad guy and you're the one doing all the cutting, I'd be thinking now, if I was that wolf, if I was that bad man, I'd be thinking,
yeah,
I don't have to worry. Look, Unite the White, 80. Yeah. 80 people.
Yeah.
That's all. How do we do it, though? What are we got to do? Come on, realistically.
I think the sop to this Conservative government was winning that election, because I suspect that even they didn't think that they were going to have a clear majority. in Parliament. I think they probably almost can't believe that result, and they must be clapping their elbows on a daily basis around that. But for me, the key for somewhere like the Isle of Wight is there will come a time, the tipping point, if you like, when the problems that people face are going to become so acute that they are going to say, actually, at this point, I've got nothing to lose anymore. And when you get people to that place, that's where something revolutionary happens. And as I said, I don't think we're naturally inclined towards that as a nation, but I think that we must be moving in that direction. I do see a lot of underlying sense of frustration and distress, those two things mixed together. And as you know, Ian, my portfolio is adult social care. I am seriously worried about the future of adult social care, not just on the island, but across the nation. I think some of the policies that this government are inflicting upon us right now are going to see a breakdown in that area. And I think, you know, you might just think at the point where we're no longer looking after our old people in an appropriate manner, I think you're going to start to say, oh, hold on a minute, that's not what we do in Britain.
How irritating is it for you, and how frustrating is it for you, though, that when, just say, for instance, these things that are probably going to kick in a wee while, you know, the people that we're talking about, the elderly, that, you know, won't get the care that they're getting now, and that goes across the board, across the island, how frustrating is it that people still are under the impression, oh, blooming council, yeah, it's all the council's fault, they've done all the cutbacks.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, but I think you just need to develop really broad shoulders and a thick skin, to be honest, mate. I see myself as having become a bit of a hate figure in the time I've been on the council, and honestly, that's really upsetting, because, you know, I'm a guy who likes to be liked, you know that. When we first met, you know, you recognised me as a very open kind of, I like to get on with people. I think you just have to learn that there are some roles or jobs in life that people do not like you, whoever you are and however you do it. The real frustration, of course, is what we've failed to do is to get across the message that government austerity measures mean that this council will be, over the period of around 5 years, we're in the middle of that right now, we will be £50 million a year worse off than we were when we came in. And that needs to be known. You know, sure, that's a lot of pocket money, isn't it? So when you're talking about the kind of services that aren't statutory, when you're talking about the things like cutting the grass and making sure the beaches are clean to a certain level, those are the kind of decisions that you're forced to make with that much less money. And that's why we're in this very, very difficult situation where now we're starting to make choices between things which I would have a couple of years ago said, hang on, that's not even a service that you don't have a reasonable expectation of providing. Yeah. Therein lies the problem.
It's you know, I still feel that way about you, Steve.
Thanks, mate.
I've got to be honest with you. There's a number of people that I do get on well with at the council, purely and simply because they're there because their heart wants them to be. And you are definitely one of those guys. And long may it continue, because if people like you disappear, what chance have we got? You know, there probably wouldn't have been 80 people in the park, and you know,
well, there'd have been 78 without me and Phil there. Oh, and Paul, 77. Yeah, three fewer.
So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the message here is open your eyes, because, not you, but open your eyes. If, when these cuts, you know, cut deeper and they hurt, and, you know, there's you know, you're going to struggle, it's not down to the council. Just remember that.
Yeah,
it's down to, but I feel myself having to you know, hang on a minute, you're reminding people, you have to, why should we actually have to? You'd be surprised the amount of people that just blame just for the sake of it. They don't care who they're blaming, they just feel better for blaming
somebody.
Mate,
you're dead right, and that's the big lie. That's the bit that I get really affronted by, because what the government have done very, very cleverly is to have offset responsibility for this onto local councils, you know. And of course, that's a great trick, isn't it? If you can do that, do something really unpleasant to somebody, but say, oh, it was his fault, then, you know, you're going to do it. And the big guys have done this reasonably successfully, because you're dead right. Pretty much everybody who doesn't really dig quite deeply into what councils do believes that the council is responsible for providing all service, all local services. They don't care about where the money comes from, how it's generated, whether government grants get ripped out, you know, from underneath us, whether we're capable of even generating any extra funding locally through council tax, even if we wanted to. You know, all those things. People aren't bothered by that. What they say is, well, what's happened there? How come that bus is no longer running? Why is this beach not as clean as it used to be? And frankly, the kind of question, this is what I've been trying to say at the rallies and the message I'm trying to put across. Pretty soon, the questions those people are going to be answering are going to be much more fundamental than that, than those. They're going to be about services. They're going to be about, why do we no longer provide the kind of service for our old people that we feel is reasonable in a civilised society? Those kind of questions. Mm. I think at that point, Ian, that's when it's going to be getting a little bit more, like people will start to agitate a bit more. I hope so, anyway, because really we've got to start making some noise here.
Okay, I'm going to read out some messages, okay? Some are, I look at and I think, yeah, okay, you might be the problem. You people like you are part of the problem. Alan James Mars says, if they are struggling that much, just maybe they couldn't afford the bus fare to get there. Roger Sanders, I think protesting for your rights has been stigmatised. This comes from the events of the 1980s. We just stand up and fight. We don't stand up and fight anymore. Mm. That's why we have a bunch of old Etonian numpties trying to take us back to the dark ages. Natasha says internet seems to be the way to go, but maybe start something similar on an internet site. There are loads, myself included, on low wage, breadline, etc. Mm. Plus all benefits are being reduced soon, but what can we do if it's all been set up in stone? You know, it's a good point there. Penny says that the more you work, the worse off you are. People are disillusioned. I know I am. Adam says, I didn't know anything about it. By word of mouth or media, too busy working, probably. Keith. Now, Keith makes a point, and I love this point because I think he's bang on the money. Hello, mate. I personally feel that the way people have been shown up by the media has given the impression that the needy don't need help as money is squandered on cigarettes, alcohol and tattoos, among other things, thanks to the documentary Benefits Britain and Benefits Street. Therefore, people feel humiliated and tend not to ask for help for fear of being classed the same.
Well said, Keith, and we must blame the Daily Mail for that.
Yeah, but just taking you back, I've said this before. When there was a programme on recently, I don't know whether you saw it, it was about Wigan Council.
Now, people
have heard me say this before. Oh, no, he's going on about Wigan Council again. They had to make £100 million worth of cuts.
Yeah.
Okay, so they sent in a crew. ITV did a documentary on it, and they sent in a crew with all these people at the sharp end of, you know, unblocking drains and all this kind of stuff, and the guys were struggling. They were massively struggling. They did some positive stuff as well, where they were trying to engage people in recycling and so on and so forth. But they showed you at the sharp end, unblocking drains, having all sorts of problems, and they were hugely struggling to the point where people were off with stress, and they weren't able to do what they were supposed to have been doing. It was quite clearly, this documentary was screened in June, but it was quite clearly put together in probably January, February. Had people seen that the week before the general election, I mean, shrewd point on, you know, ITV, we'll show it in June, it won't make a jot. But, you know, those sorts of things make me very, very suspicious.
You're not suggesting media manipulation on the part of the government, are you, Ian? Surely not.
I mean, those sort of things do not... Well, they don't help us.
No.
They don't help us, and they certainly... I mean, those people are Wigan. It'd be interesting to see who voted for what
in Wigan. I don't mind telling you. I'll say it on air. We have real problem getting our message out, even in the local media. You know, the county press has a really dominant position in terms of what gets read as the news on the Isle of Wight. And frankly, there's a lot of stuff that we would like to see much more highly publicised than it is. And it seems to me that a lot of the time, most of the negative messages are the ones that are promoted most prominently. And that's a big problem for us as an administration, I have to tell you.
Okay, well, look, just to sort of counteract that, because I know what you're saying, because I have the general same feelings and the criticism of all Ireland media, because I think all Ireland media, not massive criticisms, but we should all be pulling together. We should all be, you know, just say, for instance, if we were all pulling together, there'd be more than 80 people, you know, attending a Unite the Wight.
Good point.
event. Maybe we'd have now have a different MP, but then, you know, everyone's got their own rights to push things and so on and so forth. But I think if we were a little bit more honest and so on, but it does go both ways, because I know you guys. That you always, we phoned you up last night, late last night. You got the call. You came in. Okay, that's what you do. The last administration didn't do that. No. Sadly, for whatever reason, and we do know now the reasons. I've said this before. They were told they couldn't. Only X amount of people were allowed to come in and talk to the media. We should have an open door policy. We have. Most places have. But it works both ways. Now, you know, this is the only criticism that I've ever had of the council in the last 10 years is the communication thing.
Yeah.
And it's a case of sometimes, I've not done this in a while, but if you phone and ask a question, you very often get answered with a question. And you only want to know an answer to a simple question.
Yeah.
And to get the answer to that simple question sometimes, and I've never done it, you then feel like you have to put in an FOI, which defeats the object.
It's
time, it's money, someone else has got to put that together. Yeah. So I've never done that. I kind of get frustrated, go and bang my head against the brick wall and just leave it at that, and then forget about it. But sometimes I think maybe it is a case of we've got to do things differently on both sides.
Yeah, we agree with that, Ian. I think it we would recognise fully that our comms and media engagement is not what it should be. Certainly as an administration, we came in under a promise to be open and transparent. There is a definite way in which the council engages with the media on an official kind of level, which we would like as an administration to try and bypass. And part of the way round that perhaps is for us to establish a much more close link with the media as an administration, as a political administration that says, these are our aspirations for this council. Now, you know as well as I do, we're a minority administration. So we have real problems pushing through what we would see as our agenda. You know, the policies we'd like to, we still have to get other people on board. So clearly, there are real difficulties for us which weren't present in the previous administration, because they had enough people to always guarantee that everything they wanted to do, they could do. I've got to be honest with you, there are increasingly difficult conditions that we're working under as an administration to get stuff done, because it's very easy now for the council to block things, you know, that we'd like to see happen. So there's a lot more horse trading gets done, a lot more kind of dealing with people, managing people's kind of separate aspirations which might not necessarily align with yours. In terms of the comms, I reckon you should be coming straight to us. You know, get in touch with Jonathan or me or Phil or any of the other senior members of the administration, and we're more than happy to engage. In terms of what the message that goes out from the council, of course, that needs to be managed in a slightly different way, because officers tend to have control of that.
Okay, let me just chuck something at you. And absolutely, you're absolutely. If in the last couple of months I've had to get in contact with Jonathan, he's given me a quote numerous times, or he comes in and tells you, we wanted to get you in, you came in. Ian Stevens was always a great one. We always got him in, and Phil Jordan on Rhodes, he would come in on a regular basis. Richard Priest in the past has come in whenever we've asked him to. No problems there whatsoever. The issue that I sometimes have, and I'm banging my head against a brick wall, we are we're a small setup here. We've got 26 volunteers. Okay, that's what they are, and volunteers. So we don't have the manpower that the other radio station has got, and I'm not criticising them at all. They do a wonderful job, and so do the county press, as far as I can see. But there are elements that I think, well, hang on a minute, we could help ourselves here a little bit, and that is, you know, just say for instance, the county press can come and ask for an FOI or ask for some news. Okay, we want to know, and they've contacted you, and then the council will say, well, there you go, you've asked for it, you've got it, there you go, and you can go and have the story. And I did say this to somebody last week that used to work within comms at the council, and they kind of agreed. We then said, well, once that story's been let go, maybe after a period of 12 hours, you then said, you let everybody have it.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Because exactly. Because then it's not a case of right. Okay, what did they say? Who did they say? Do you see what they said there? They've got it different.
Yeah.
issue a press release, everyone's got it. Yeah. Okay, the one person that's got it first, they can do with it what they will, I guess. But the, you know, then if
so it's almost like how patents work, you know, when the one that effectively generated that originally gets exclusivity on it for a certain length of time, and then it becomes free stuff to everybody.
Absolutely,
I can see how that. And then you might take the story in a different direction. I would understand that. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
No, what I would do, Steve, is you issue me a press release, and I read the press release,
right?
And that's, I don't flower it up. Yeah. I don't put my opinion on it. Yeah. I don't put anything else on it. It's the facts.
Yeah.
You give me the facts. We broadcast the facts.
Does that not happen then when a story's been generated not by an original press release from the council?
No.
You get that then, but you don't get one if it's in response to a request or some kind of information thing. Right. I could see why you might quite reasonably be asking for that. Seems perfectly.
Let's take it back a week. We had the guys in from Island Roads, and they are doing, I think they're doing a wonderful job now. We've all had our issues in some way.
Some of the stuff they're producing is top quality. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, Harrison Road's brilliant.
I think that, you know, we've got to get off their cases and start supporting, because at the end of the day, we are going to be left with some wonderful roads.
Yeah.
Okay, how much that costs in the long run? Who's going to count? I mean, let's be honest. We're going to get wonderful roads at the end of it. But there was a story, and they came in and they gave it to us. It was the Wootton Bridge.
Yep.
And so, anyway, they were on air talking about Wootton Bridge, what was actually going to happen. Next thing we know, other people have got the story, but it's kind of not the same story as what we've had. So we've got in touch with them and said, can you clarify? And they have. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. That's from Island Roads, but there's nothing on the Isle of Wight Council website. There's nothing there. We only get things like, just say, for instance, yesterday the lift has been put back. Yeah. Okay, so we get that. Very often we get stuff that is like a week old. You've won an award or something. Somebody's won an award in London and they've got
one of us.
But the trouble is with those kind of things that went on. It happened a week ago,
yeah.
And we're now getting it,
yeah.
And we're thinking, why? There's stuff on the website, and I think, okay, there's only a certain amount on there. There's certain things that aren't put on there, and if we had like some kind of relationship where you're sending the stuff,
can I get you a meeting?
Well,
we've got a new lady called Helen who's just come in and is taking Anna's job for the time that Anna's off. You know, she's just had a baby.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you, Anna, if you're listening. So Anna's off for some time, and we've got this new lady in called Helen who's worked with on comms with other local authorities. She knows the job very well and looks to be settling in really nicely. I'd be very happy to get you a meeting with her.
Brilliant.
Where you can thrash out some of this stuff and ask if there's any way we could change the way that we do our comms with the media.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
Because I honestly believe that we're here to feed the people the information.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And if we're only getting half the story the stories, you know, then we can't put it out.
And I would like to thank you for being, generally speaking, whilst you do your job properly and you investigate stuff properly, you are not naturally inclined towards being unsympathetic to the council, which sadly, as far as some media on the island is concerned, they do move in that direction. And I think sometimes the best stories will almost certainly be generated by bashing the council, because, you know, you're more likely to get people on your side. And I've always appreciated the balance of Vectis Radio in that regard.
Thank you. And I say we've that means a lot. We've kind of run out of time, but I say it's just one of those things that's what we've always been. Yeah, okay, 10 years ago I might have had a different reputation because it's easier. But now I get really, really frustrated when people are so wrong when they start knocking things. Hey, look, do you know the reason why this doesn't work? Do you know the reason why there's a pothole there? Do you know the reason why they only did half that road there?
Yeah.
That's purely and simply because the old regime, the contract was you could only do 166 square metres. That takes you to there. Now you've got to go to a different postcode.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were people recently.
But we're rewriting some of that.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly. And that's the message we've got to get across.
Yeah, we have.
And I say,
I'll get you a meeting for sure. I'll go back, you know, back to County Hall now, and I will arrange a meeting for you. If you can give me some dates when would work for you, I'll get you in to talk to Helen.
Fantastic. Hey, look, thanks for your time, Steve.
Good to see you always.
And I think you're doing a great job. I really do.
I appreciate that.
not just the independents, but I think there's a number of Conservative and others that are working together, which is all we want. I don't care what colours they are.
Yeah.
Let's just work together and get the job done, and that's what you're doing. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much indeed.
And thank you, Prickles. You didn't have much of a speaking part there.
Yeah, but, cheers,
that's
Ali.
Fine.
Makes you change.
Thanks for setting it up. I've got to get back now, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Steve. Guys. Great to see you.
And you. Cheers. And you.